Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Welcome to a brand new week of programs that will bring clarity to the chaos. Today, we help students proclaim Christ over culture. Later this week, we debut a brand new children's resource that will reinforce the truth of Scripture. And Donald Perkins will continue his series, studying through the book of Revelation. Prophecy in the News Live week is here, this Friday and Saturday, August 16th and 17th, at Hill Spring Church in New Prague, Minnesota. Come hear the latest One World update, examine biblical artifacts from Israel, and learn about the earth before the flood. You'll learn how to have victory in the invisible war on the saints and discover the truth behind the secret societies. Tickets are free, but seating is limited. Make sure you register today by visiting our website, swrc.com. Click on Events. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News Live this Friday and Saturday in New Prague, Minnesota. Now, here's today's host, Josh Davis.
Parents and grandparents today have a difficult and challenging responsibility to raise our kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as the Scripture says, but it is not a battle that we have to lose. It's a battle that we can actually win. And we're going to be speaking with a wonderful author who's written a book called Christ Over Culture, Raising Christian Kids to Stand in a Postmodern World. I'm excited about this book because there is hope in this message. There's practical advice, practical wisdom for parents, for grandparents who are raising kids that are bombarded by this current postmodern world that we face. And so we welcome Andrea Crum. We welcome you to Watchmen on the Wall.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, let's get right into your book. What compelled you to write this book, and what motivated you to speak to our postmodern world and to Christian parents in particular as you developed the message that's in this book?
It's a really interesting story in terms of how God brought me into this, but He really called me into ministry about 5 years ago. And one of the things that happened as I started getting into ministry was I started talking to moms, and I was having coffee and we were having chats, and I started recognizing I was talking to these Christian moms, and many of them were expressing that they thought that LGBTQ was okay, even from a Christian perspective. And it was just this interesting insight I was talking to. I would say probably about half the women I talked to held this belief. And it just became this insight for me that I started to recognize that something was going on in the church, and something was happening where there was a disconnect of what our gospel message is and what it means to be Christian and what it means to live a life that follows and obeys Christ and God's word. And so I was recognizing that there was some shift that had happened. And as I started to dig more into that and figure out what was going on, I was recognizing that some of the things that have been happening in the church, I know for parents of my generation, for example, we grew up at a time in the church where many churches were preaching about and teaching the evangelism method of like the Evangelcube, you know, where you kind of share this 2-minute gospel and then you invite someone to ask the Lord into their heart and then they're saved. It's this very commoditized gospel message. The gospel message is simple, but it definitely takes more than just a minute conversation, right, to really know how to follow the Lord, to really accept His grace and to walk in that. The Holy Spirit can move, obviously, in any second, right? But we know that for it to be something that's transformative, there's usually more to it. And I think that we see that in the example, obviously, of Jesus and the disciples and how He trained them up for 3 years and discipled them. The Great Commission is really for us to be discipled, to grow in the Word of God, and then to go out and share it. So what I was noticing, I think, is just that so many of us parents who are raising kids today, we weren't taught the salvation message or the discipleship message or God's Word in a way that we really understood it and that it really transformed our heart. And so now we're raising this next generation, but we don't necessarily have a solid footing in terms of our own faith and God's Word.
Well, that's so true. And I've witnessed that and observed that in my own life and in the lives of others, my friends and family and people that I've gone to church with over the years, and how easily influenced by this culture that we really have been. But as you said, the Great Commission is more than just receiving Christ. I think the Western Church, I like the word you used, commoditized the Great Commission into, let's just get people born again, let's just, and yes, obviously that is a great goal, and I'm not saying anything against that, but if that's the only goal, then we run into a problem, because the Great Commission in Matthew 28 includes both evangelism and discipleship. It's go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. And so we have both of those things within the Great Commission, and we certainly need to be about that in our world today. As you go on in chapter 2, you speak about the spiritual dulling that took place in your own life, but it allowed you to observe some hallmarks, some vulnerabilities of this spiritual dulling that happens in a lot of Christians' lives. Can you explain some of these vulnerabilities? Maybe you want to share a little bit about your story or whatever you feel like sharing on our program today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I started to go to church probably when I was in about fourth grade, and then I came to know the Lord in seventh grade, the church camp, but then I didn't have that discipleship. There was nothing that was ongoing in terms of teaching me how to lean into or learn the Word of God and to really take that in and be changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit. And so I think what happens with many of us who do maybe accept the Word of God and, you know, have that conversion experience or have that moment where we say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you, but we don't ever really see the change in our life because we're not leaning into knowing God more. So we're not changed. We're not sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We're not purified by Him. And so what happens is there's not this change that really happens in our life. We have a spiritual change that might have happened if we truly did accept the Lord, but we're not necessarily seeing that in our everyday life because we haven't necessarily grown closer to Him. We then get to this place where we're not seeing that change. We're trying to pray. Sometimes we don't know what that really looks like. And, you know, we have that whole experience where it feels like we're praying to the ceiling. You know, you might hear people use that term. Feels like my prayer's not going anywhere, right? So we don't feel like we are getting anything actually out of this Christian experience. We might go to church. We might do all of that, but we don't feel like there's anything much to it. So all of a sudden now we're in a place where we are building our careers. We are getting married and having families, and we're so distracted by all of those things. And because our relationship with the Lord hasn't been, maybe we haven't been discipled well, or we haven't leaned into that, we then start to focus on all these other things. And all of a sudden, the fire that was once lit in us has now dulled and dimmed and extinguished in many of us. And so I think that it's just a process that happens because we aren't maybe discipled, because we don't know what God's word really says, because we don't really understand the gospel. It ends up slowing down, and it's kind of a slow fade.
Yes. A sad thing, as I said a moment ago, that I've observed in my own heart and then in the hearts and lives of others, you know, as I served in pastoral ministry for a number of years and still do, you can see it. And when I've worked with young people, sometimes you can see it coming. You can see it coming. Their heart is not really on fire for God. There seems to be other desires from the world that's pulling at them, and they're trying to decide which way to go. Then they graduate high school, and then they just move on from their family and what they've been trained and taught, and they suffer the consequences. Thankfully, I've seen a few people who have spent some years out in the world, and they've seen the consequences. They've seen the brokenness that result, and now they're turning back to the Lord, and God is drawing them closer and closer to Himself. And that's beautiful to see when that happens. And that leads us to the next question. Sometimes when we talk about these heavy things, when we talk about people who walk away from the faith, when we talk about deconstruction and that word that has increased in popularity the last few years among the Christian community, a lot of people can get depressed, discouraged. They say, what's the use? Why should I teach this Sunday school class? Why should I pour into these kids and kids ministry if they're just going to walk away from it all when they get older? Is there hope for the church in these dark cultural days that we live in?
Yeah, I definitely hear exactly what you're saying. I feel that too. I hear that from people as well, just the discouragement that can happen. But yes, I absolutely think there's hope for the church. I do think it's going to require parents in particular to be really intentional. I do believe that if we are not rising up and raising our kids to stand firm on their faith, then we will lose the church in the next generation to progressive ideas. We might have a church, but we're not going to have the same Jesus being taught in those churches, right? In those buildings. But I absolutely believe there's hope. And then we have that great example. We have the history making 12 disciples, you know, that Jesus prepared, that went out and then developed other disciples who then went out and changed the world. I mean, they were in the Roman Empire, right? So they were in a culture that was horrible, you know, so very sexualized like we experience today. And so many other things going on in terms of just not valuing life. So we see a lot of similarities in that. But what we see in the 12 disciples or the apostles is that we see that one, Jesus spent time with them. So again, that discipleship that we have to recognize that we have to pour in. And that pouring in only comes in when we've been poured into, right? When we have been filled up, when we have something that actually can overflow and pour out to our kids. So there has to be a change within us. So you see that discipleship and that teaching and training is really important. So that's an important part of that message. And then the other thing I see with those 12 apostles when they went out and changed the world is they were on mission. They knew what God had called them to do and they went. And I think for us and our kids, we need to be talking to them about the fact that God has a purpose for them. He's very clear in his word that he has plans, he pre-purposed for them, right? That he knit us together in his mother's womb and that he knows the plans he has for us. So there is something specific he has for each of us to do individually. And I do believe that one of the reasons so many kids fall into like social justice activism is because they find meaning and purpose in doing protests and posts and working for these causes. And as Christian parents, we haven't done as good of a job as teaching our kids that they have purpose in Christ and that he has something of meaning and value, eternal value, that he wants them to accomplish. We need to be sharing that with our kids. I think if we can really disciple and then give our kids that sense of purpose, we're going to see a changed generation.
That's an interesting point that you make there. And it's not one that I've heard articulated quite that way, and I appreciate you sharing that. Friends, we are visiting with Andrea Crum. She's the author of a wonderful book, Christ Over Culture, Raising Christian Kids to Stand in a Postmodern World. And if you'd like to pick up a copy of this book, you can do so at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Andrea, how can Christian parents train up a child, as the scripture says, for this culture they live in? You know, oftentimes as people point fingers at the church and say, it's the church's fault. But really, it comes back to us as parents. I've got two young kids and I'm trying to do all I can to pour into them and surround them with other people who can do the kinds of things that you are talking about and invest in them, disciple them, nurture them in the admonition of the Lord, as the scripture says. So what are some practical ways that Christian parents can train up a child for the culture that they live in today?
So I think the first thing is always something that probably doesn't sound quite like an equipping tool, but it is that we as parents have to be changed first, right? We have to love the Lord. We have to spend time in his word. We have to be someone who's showing our kids the fruits of the spirit. I remember talking to our youth pastor one time, and he just talked about how kids, they're going to care more about truth once they decide that what you're selling them or what you're sharing with them is worth giving time to. They're not necessarily coming to God or coming to Jesus because there's like, oh, this is the truth. Parents are equipped, they equip their kids. When I see kids that are evangelizing or teaching or any of those things in their schools and in their churches and in their neighborhoods, it's because they have parents who are equipped. Equipped parents equip their kids. And so unfortunately, so many of us parents are so busy, and that's very problematic. And so, and we're very intimidated, I think, by all the things that are going on in culture. We don't feel equipped. We don't feel prepared. We feel confused and overwhelmed. What I would say is so important for parents is to start even just bite size, you know, start listening to a couple of podcasts once or twice a week, start going to those classes that your church is offering. Start doing some of those things that are going to get you the information you need, because as you get information on this culture and what's happening, you're going to more easily share it out with your kids.
Yes.
It's just going to become natural to have those conversations. So I think that's really important for parents to be doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is very crucial. And friends, we are visiting with author Andrea Crum and discussing the book Christ Over Culture, Raising Christian Kids to Stand in a Postmodern World. Now, you spend several chapters discussing worldview, including the postmodern worldview. And so why is it important that we recognize the various worldviews in our society? How does that impact us as Christians in general, but Christian parents in particular?
Our kids are being inundated with ideas at every turn, right? Whether it's social media or news or their neighbors or friends, family members, any place they're going, they're being saturated with ideas. And so all of these ideas, from my perspective, start to become intertwined. It's like a plate of spaghetti. You don't know where one idea begins and another idea ends. They all just become like platter, right? And it's hard to see anything clear in it. So what worldview does, and what I do in the book, is talk about four specific worldviews that are kind of the overarching worldviews. And if we start to teach our kids about worldview, what it will do is it will help them to start almost like a spaghetti strainer, right? It's like it will help them to filter ideas and put them into categories so that as they're getting inundated with these ideas, they'll be able to go, oh, that's a naturalism worldview or a science worldview. That's more of a spiritual worldview. That's more of a postmodern worldview. They'll be able to really identify them more easily and put them into the correct category instead of getting confused by all these messages that seem to sometimes work together, sometimes contradict each other. All of those kind of things, they'll start to be able to place them in the right category. They'll be able to see what the biblical worldview is too and go, okay, that's something I can align with, or I can see the error of what that person is saying because it doesn't align to the biblical worldview. So worldview is really important because it's a tool that allows us to teach our kids and for our kids to categorize ideas and not fall for them so easily.
Yeah, and that's so very good for us to understand. Now, we're going to ask a big question, and I know we just have a few minutes left on today's discussion, and we want to pick back up with this when we continue on in our interview tomorrow. But can you explain to our listeners in basic terms, you know, what is a biblical worldview? We hear that phrase increasingly often today, thankfully, increasingly often, but what is a biblical worldview?
Interestingly, if you ask different people, you'll probably get a different response. One of the things I did as I started out in ministry is I went to the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Chuck Colson, but he talks about the fact that one of my favorite quotes from him is he talks about the fact that so often in culture we want to talk about homosexuality or the transgender movement or abortion, and we kind of tackle those issues with people. It's really like we're tackling the ideas with people. But really, the ideas are coming from a biblical worldview. They're coming from a way in which we see the world. That's what a biblical worldview is. It's the way in which we see the world. It's the lens through which we see it. That is actually what is kind of at our foundation, is the way in which we see the world. And then because of the way we see the world, then these ideas flow out of that. So I'll give an example that I use when I'm teaching students, which is that if I asked a bunch of Christian kids, you know, what is evil? They're going to tell me things like sexual immorality. They're going to tell me greed. They're going to tell me lying. They're going to tell me pride. They're going to list all these items that are evil because that's what they've been taught in the Bible. That's what they've been taught in church and through their own learning, is that these are the things that God calls evil. So since God calls these things evil, we call them evil. And that's how we look at the world. We can see evil for what it is because we know what God has called evil. So when we see things like certain ideologies popping up, we go, that's evil because God says that's evil. If somebody has a postmodern worldview and they don't have a biblical worldview, so postmodern worldview is really the ideas that we see today in society of LGBTQ, critical race theory, you know, really radical feminism, all of these different ideas. When you ask a person in that worldview, what would they define as evil? They would say that evil is oppression and injustice. So they look at the world very differently. They look at it in terms of power structures and who's the oppressed and who's the oppressor and who's being marginalized by people in power. And so they look at the world very differently. We would answer those questions differently based on our worldview. that's why worldview is so important to understand, and recognizing that we're actually sometimes not debating people. We are debating on the ideas, but it's really a much deeper root than that.
Well, friends, we're visiting with author Andrea Crum and discussing her book, Christ Over Culture, Raising Christian Kids to Stand in a Postmodern World. It's a hardback book that's 160 pages long that's going to equip parents and grandparents as they raise up their kids or grandkids in the midst of this culture that we face today, this postmodern worldview that our world has bought hook, line, and sinker. And so you need to be equipped with this kind of practical biblical information to stand firm in these days that we live in. You can pick up a copy by visiting swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or by calling us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Andrea, how can people connect with you, connect with your ministry?
One of the best ways to do that is to follow us on Instagram. We're at Genuine Family Ministries is our handle. That is the name of our nonprofit. And then also on our website, which is www.genuinefamilyministries.com.
Well, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to continuing this conversation on tomorrow's program.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our next discussion.
Josh Davis will continue his conversation with Andrea Crum on our next program. Andrea Crum's new book, Christ Over Culture, is a resource that you need. Whether you're a parent or grandparent, discover a powerful guide for Christians seeking to equip their children to live out their faith in today's chaotic, self-focused society. Christ Over Culture, Raising Christian Kids to Stand in a Postmodern World, empowers parents and grandparents to help their kids discern anti-biblical ideas and ground them in God's truth. Through a blend of theology, worldview analysis, apologetics, and critical thinking skills, Christ Over Culture will equip parents and grandparents with the tangible strategies to run their race, stewarding their children to glorify God. Order your copy of Christ Over Culture today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Today's world is full of chaos. How does the news we see align with what we read in Scripture? Here is Dr. Larry Spargimino and Marvin McIlvaney with insight and analysis of today's headlines from a biblical perspective.
I'm a little concerned, Marvin, about the riots I read about in England. On July 29th, three little girls between 6 and 9 years old were killed during an attack at a dance event for children in the seaside town of Southport in northern England. 8 other children and 2 adults were hurt. You know, I was wondering what kind of insane sicko would murder little children like that. I mean, it's just beyond my imagination. This guy is out of his... No, he's demon-possessed. I mean, what else can you say? It certainly made me angry that someone killed these precious children. And then I thought how the people in that city were also angry and rose up to protest by rioting.
I was following that story too, Pastor Larry. Police said they arrested a 17-year-old male. It was soon circulated on social media that the suspect was an Islamic migrant, which led to violent anti-Muslim protests in Southport the following day. Some people even attempted to attack the town's mosque. The teenager has since been charged with murder and attempted murder. Police said he was born in Britain and have not treated the attack as terrorism.
In May of 2020, after Minneapolis police officer killed George Floyd, protest erupted throughout Minneapolis and St. Paul. In cities across the U.S., protests quickly turned violent, resulting in massive burning, looting, and destruction in large parts of downtown Minneapolis. Protests had continued throughout the entire month of June in many cities, with protests occurring in over 40% of counties in the United States. Polls estimate between 15 million and 26 million people participated in the United States. Now, that's a lot of angry people. It's just like a beehive. They're all buzzing and ready for destruction.
That reminds me of Genesis 6, where it says violence filled the earth. While I was doing some research for this article, I came across something that caught my attention. The Hebrew word for violence in this case is actually the word Hamas. How's that for a coincidence? The question is violence increasing in the world? According to the reports I've read, it is. All across Europe, Germany, France, Spain, they all report that attacks and disturbances are up, way up.
This is interesting because according to a report by the United Nations, it's on their website, the title of the report is A New Era of Conflict and Violence. This is from the agency that was made to prevent war and hostilities. Now, if the United Nations says violence is up, then it must be. And just look at America. Look at how violent we become. We have new phrases for it, like drive-by shooting and road rage. That certainly describes what's happening today. The internet is full of videos of people committing acts of violence on defenseless people. I'm thinking of one I saw, an old man gets sucker punched in front of a lot of people. What are the people doing? They're filming it. They want to post it. And this poor guy is half out. He's almost unconscious. He's on the ground. They look for his wallet, and they take his watch. I mean, we have a piranha society. That's what happens when you leave God out of the picture. I mean, I'm not surprised at this. People are sinful, and wickedness is in the human heart. Well, we're seeing it today. Take away the restraint of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. People don't go to churches. People curse God, burn up Bibles, and act like idiots. And this is exactly what we have.
Everyone should read Genesis 6:11 again. It says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Many people would say that our government is corrupt. Many people would say that our society is full of violence. Look at our movies and look at our music. Our culture is violent. If something happens, and it really doesn't matter what it is, then there are going to be riots and looting and destroying property.
Well, Marvin, it sure seems like we're heading for a big explosion with this upcoming election. No matter what happens, one half of the country is going to be angry, really angry. Friend, if you're not a Christian, boy, this is a time to get saved right away. Don't wait. November is coming very quickly.
Andrea Crum's new book, Christ Over Culture, is a resource that you need today. Whether you're a parent or grandparent, discover a powerful guide for Christians seeking to equip their kids to live out their faith in today's chaotic, self-focused society. Order your copy of Christ Over Culture when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, we'll have part two of Josh Davis's conversation with Andrea Crum, examining how you and I can help this generation keep their focus on Christ instead of the culture. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by downloading our SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.